ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, entitled The Renunciation of Kardama Muni. So this is, we are beginning the chapter, text number 1. Today we will read text number 1 till 3, 3 verses. Maitreya Uvacha
Maitreya Uvacha
Nirveda Vadini Mevam मनो दुहितरं मुनिः दयालुशालिनी महा शुक्लाभिव्याहृतं स्मरन् मैत्रेय उवाच निर्वेदवादिनीमेवम् मनोर्दुहितरं मुनिः दयालुशालिनी महा शुक्लाभिव्यहार्तं स्मरन् मैत्रेय उवाच निर्वेदवादिनीमेवम् मनोर्दुहितरं मुनिः दयालुशालिनी महा शुक्लाभिव्यहृतं स्मरन् मैत्रेय उवाच निर्वेदवादिनीमेवम् मनोर्दुहितरं मुनिः दयालुशालिनी महा शुक्लाभिव्यहृतं स्मरन् मैत्रेयः द ग्रेट् सेज् मैत्रेय उवाच सेड् निर्वेदवादिनी हू आर् स्पीकिङ्ग् वर्ड्स् full of renunciation. Evam, thus, manoho, of Svayambhuva Manu, duhitaram, to the daughter, munihi, the sage Kardama, dayaluhu, merciful, chalini, who was worthy of praise. Aha, replied Shukla, by Lord Vishnu, Abhivyahritam, what was said, Smaran, recalling. Translation: recalling the words of Lord Vishnu, the merciful sage Kardama replied as follows to Svayambhuva Manu's praiseworthy daughter Devahuti, who was speaking words full of renunciation. There is no purport to this verse. So we'll read further. Rishiruvacha makito raja putritham atmanam partyani dete bhagavamste ksharo garbham aduru samprapatsyate. The great sage said, do not be disappointed with yourself, O princess. You are actually praiseworthy. The infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead will shortly enter your womb as your son. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kardama Muni encouraged his wife not to be sorry, thinking herself unfortunate because the personality of Godhead by his incarnation was going to come from her body. So I'll read next verse also because both can be explained together. And that is the end of purport, only one line. So verse number 3. Dhritavratasi bhadram te damena niyamena cha trabodravina dhanescha shraddhaya cheshwaram bhaja. Translation: you have undertaken sacred vows. God will bless you. Hence, you should worship the Lord with great faith through sensory control, religious observances, austerities, and gifts of your money in charity. Purport: in order to spiritually advance or to achieve the mercy of the Lord, one must be self-controlled in the following manner. He must be restrained in sense gratification and must follow the rules and regulations of religious principles. Without austerity and penance and without sacrificing one's riches, one cannot achieve the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Kadambini advised his wife, you have to factually engage in devotional service with austerity and penance, following the religious principles and giving charity. Then the Supreme Lord will be pleased with you and he will come as your son.
Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhutair Mahadha Yaima Puro Vibho Nirmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Sodam Krishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Hare Krishna. Here we are starting the new chapter where we can see the renunciation of Kadambini and the Lord Kapiladev is going to appear from the womb of Mother Devahuti. In fact, many times one question is posed, why the Supreme Lord had only appeared in India or in Bharatavarsh in that sense? Why not in the Western world? So I was hearing that answer from Mahavishnu Goswami Maharaj. So it's an interesting answer. He said that the Lord wants always devotees around him. So whenever the Lord appears, there has to be devotees. And specifically, he is looking for a qualified father and mother. So if he has a qualified father and mother, then he would like to appear as the son of those parents. So Maharaj said, if you feel in the Western world the Lord is not appearing, then you become qualified. Then Lord can appear even in the Western world. So it is not just the question of which part of the world the Lord is appearing, but it is the question of the consciousness of the devotees. So it has nothing to do with the geographic locations as such, but it has to do with the consciousness. So here, it is worthy of discussing this point because Kardama Muni is encouraging Mother Devahuti. He is telling, okay, you don't need to worry because the Lord is coming to appear as your son from your womb. Such a great fortune for a lady to have the Supreme Lord as her son. Is there anything better than that to exchange maternal affection, the perfection of maternal affection? So even here we can see Devahuti is going to get that opportunity to serve the Lord in the form of Kapiladev. We can see from the pastime of Lord Krishna and the Janmashtami is appearing, Vasudeva and Devaki had the same fortune, good fortune, to get the Supreme Lord as their son. However, most of the time, we do glorify their great fortune, but at the same time, we may tend to neglect or forget the austerities and the penances they had to go through to get the Supreme Lord as their son. Even in presence of the Supreme Lord, how much tribulations they had to go through. So we can see a little bit from the pastime of Devaki and Vasudeva. Was it just the one lifetime austerity that ended up in getting Krishna as their son? No. They had to go through three lifetimes, and in three lifetimes they got the Supreme Lord as their son. So first time, the Lord appeared as the son of Sutapa and Prishni. So the Lord's name is Prishni Garbha because the Lord appeared as the son of Prishni. So he is known as Prishni Garbha, one who appeared from the womb of Prishni. In fact, in the third chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord, after his appearance, he addresses his parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, and he tells that you performed austerities for something like 12,000 celestial years to get me as your son. How long is that? 12,000 celestial years. It's a pretty long period of time. It's a long austerity. It is not something which is very simple or for a very short duration. One celestial year, it is like, you know, 6 months of our time is, it is considered, it is the 1 year of, one day of the demigods, the celestial years. And if you consider the night, then it becomes the whole night also. It is like such a 1 year means the whole day and night of the demigods. So, you know, our one whole year is one day and night of the demigods. So think about 12,000 celestial years, such a long period of time. They had to perform austerities. And then first we can see the Lord appeared as Prishni Garbha. That was in Treta Yuga. So one of the name of the Lord in Treta Yuga is Prishni Garbha. Then they were not satisfied. They actually said that they were so attached to have the Supreme Lord as their son and to exchange parental affection, they didn't even want to go to the spiritual world. Vasudeva and Devaki, they never prayed, okay, I want to go to the spiritual world. Enough of this material world, I want to just go to the spiritual world. No. They prayed, we want to exchange parental affection to you and kindly appear as our child. And as we know, of course, it was a bit mixed with the Aishwarya, mixed with the opulence of the Lord. So it was not the Shuddha Vatsalya Prem. It was not the pure parental affection, but they knew they wanted the Supreme Lord to be their son. So it was mixed with the Aishwarya, the understanding of the opulence of the Lord. Then in the next millennium, the Lord appeared as son of Kashyapa and Aditi. We know that is Vamanadev, the short, the dwarf incarnation of the Lord. And he became the Upendra. He became the Trivikram. He became the great Lord who covered the whole universe with his two steps. Urukrama. He is known as Urukrama because his steps are too big. So even within the two steps, he could cover the entire universe, both the middle, both the lower planetary systems, upper planetary systems, the entire universe was covered just with the two steps of the Lord. So how big Urukrama is, or Trivikram is. So that is the same personality who is residing as the worshipable Lord of the heavenly planet, as Upendra, as the worshipable or the brother of Indra. So all the heavenly planets, there are worshipable deities. So all the heavenly planets, they have their worshipable deities. Each loka you go upwards, everywhere there is a worshipable deity. And the worshipable deity for the heavenly planet Indra Loka is Upendra. So he's situated as the brother of Indra. So Indra also has a very high, unique position because he has access to the Supreme Lord. So now, in the final, in the third millennium, in the Dwapara Yuga, that to end of Dwapara Yuga, the Lord appeared as He Himself, not as a plenary portion, but as a complete expansion, as the same self, same personality of Godhead, and that is Krishna. So He appeared in the womb of Mother Devaki. So this is very much interesting that the Lord appeared after so much of austerities that His devotees had performed. At the end, the Lord, He Himself appeared in His complete form as Krishna. Then one may wonder, okay, they had already performed 12,000 years, celestial years of austerities. Okay, at least Lord could have come without causing much of anxiety and trouble to Vasudeva and Devaki. But what is the reality? They had to go through such a torturous situation, such a mental torture to have the Lord as their son, right? Because as we know, each and every sons of Vasudeva and Devaki were killed by Kamsa. Can you think? It's just an amazing pastime. First child was born to Devaki, and as promised, Vasudeva had to hand over this child to Kamsa. And what did Kamsa do? Immediately killed, brutally murdered an infant child. What is that? Can we think about that? Such kind of a mental torture for the mother and father and for all the other devotees. The infant child, they came out from the womb and immediately been brutally murdered by Rakshasa, you know, by Kamsa, Asura. How is that? Is that one time? No. Then the next child was born. Then the same thing, Vasudeva had to hand over. Think about that. This is actually service. Actually, whatever actions of a pure devotee is service to the Supreme Lord. And Vasudeva was performing this service of handing over his each and every children to Kamsa to be killed, to be murdered. What kind of a service is that? What kind of an austerity is that? And he had to go through again and again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times his children were killed. And they had to go through that mental torture. And not only for them, even Akrura, think about Akrura and other devotees who took shelter of Kamsa. It is mentioned later in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Akrura reveals his mind. I had to stay with this demon. Any devotee wants to stay with any demon, you know, who is killing other devotees and torturing other devotees. Anyone wants to side with such a person? Definitely not. Think about ourselves. We find ourselves very much difficult, maybe at workplace, or if we go to some relatives who are totally unfavorable, or other materialistic people, we feel very uncomfortable to be in that association. Think about Akrura. He had to tolerate Kamsa, and he had to tolerate his atrocities against devotees. Why? As a service to witness the pastime of the Lord and to assist in the pastime of the Lord. So devotional service and association of the Lord doesn't come for a cheap price. It has its value, it has its cost. So Akrura had to go through that. He reveals later as he goes to Braj to meet Krishna and Balaram and to bring them to Mathura. He reveals his mind, you know, I had to actually side with such a demon because that's the way I had to serve the Lord. Can you see? So to serve the Lord, to be in association with the Lord, to witness the pastimes of the Lord, such an intense phase of life they had to go through. Then of course, we know the pastime. Who are these six children? They are the Shatgarbhas. They were originally the sons of Marichi, the great sage. They offended, they laughed at Lord Brahma. And they got cursed because of that. And the curse was that you will be born in the demoniac species. So then they took birth as sons of Kalanemi, grandson of Hiranyakashipu. So all the six children. And they were great, they were in great exalted position, but because of offense they had to take birth in a demoniac family as grandchildren of Hiranyakashipu, sons of Kalanemi. And again, interesting, they had attraction for Lord Brahma. Even in that demoniac life, they wanted to glorify and they wanted to perform austerity unto Brahma to gain more power. So they did tapa to satisfy Lord Brahma. So as they were doing this tapa, Hiranyakashipu came to know that his grandchildren are performing austerities unto Brahma. So this is that demoniac nature. Hiranyakashipu became very upset because Asura wants everyone to worship him. You know, Bhagavad Gita also we can see that, you know, Ishwaroham aham bhogi balavan sukhi, you know, Ishwaroham, I am the Ishwara. All worships are meant to be for my pleasure. So this was the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. So we can see a lot of Hiranyakashipu mentality in Kali Yuga. We can see some to some degree in our own heart. So it is there. So this is the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. And immediately Hiranyakashipu cursed. He obstructed their austerity and cursed. He said, oh, you want to worship Brahma? Maybe you want to become more powerful than me? Okay, let you be killed by your own father. So this curse, it is also a very heavy curse. Let you be killed by your own father. So then, what is, again, it's very interesting. Even though we see this pastime, since Krishna is involved, there is always the hand of Yogamaya. So now, these six sons of Kalanemi, they've been cursed to be killed by their own father. So what happened? Kalanemi, in his next life, he got killed by Vishnu. In the next life, he became Kamsa. So Yogamaya arranged such a way that all these six children would be born in the womb of Devaki. So that the Kalanemi is the same father and the children are transferred to the womb of Devaki. And they got killed one by one by Kamsa. So in that way, all the curses are also being taken care of. And then all these children are being killed. So, but if you see from the perspective of Devaki and Vasudev, it is just a torture. And they were waiting for the appearance of the Lord. And in between, Narada also told Kamsa. Kamsa was becoming a bit reluctant in performing his atrocities against his own, you know, his own nephews. He didn't want to do that. But Narada Muni said, you know, I think who can say Krishna is very tricky, Vishnu is very tricky, you already know. So who can say which one is going to be Vishnu? It can be like a cycle. How do you know which is the real Vishnu? He said it is the eighth child, but how do you know? So in that way, he actually made the whole pastime to happen fast. It can look like cruel, but everyone is just looking for one thing, that is the appearance of the Supreme Lord. And as we know, who are these Shatgarbhas, the six children? Vishwanathachakravarti Thakur explains that these six children are representing the six anarthas in the heart. Kama, Krodha, Lopa, Moha, Mada and Matsarya. You know, the lust, Krodha, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy, all the six enemies of the mind. These are our real enemies. So these six enemies of the mind. So Vishwanathachakravarti Thakur says, if you want to get the association of the Lord, if you want to become Krishna conscious, then we need to get rid of all these six enemies. So this is the purport to this. That is, one has, if one wants the Lord as their child, or one wants to become perfect in Krishna consciousness, one has to get rid of all these anarthas. Then only it is possible. So now, why I am bringing this story? Because here we have the pastime of Devahuti and Kardamuni. So did Devahuti perform any austerities to get the Lord as her child? Yes, she did. What was the austerity? She served her husband. Vishambhena Gauravena cha. That is with intimacy and with reverence. So here, her husband is in the platform of the spiritual master because he is completely engaged in Krishna conscious activities. So she served her husband just like a dedicated disciple would serve his or her spiritual master. In the same way, she served Kardamumini. And here I will just read one verse that actually tells that what she had to go through. Visrjya kaman dampam cha dvesham lobham agham madam apramatto dhyata nityam tejiyamsam ato shayat. So working sanely and diligently, okay, this is the activity of Devahuti. Working sanely and diligently, she pleased her very powerful husband, that is the Tejiyasam, giving up all lust, okay, kamam, pride, envy, greed, sinful activities and vanity. So the same principle. So in case of Devaki, we hear that, okay, had to give all the six anarthas, the six enemies of the mind. Similarly, we can see that Devahuti, she had given up all these anarthas, all these unwanted things, and served her husband. And that you mentioned for a very long period of time, and as we have heard already, her body became emaciated because she neglected her body in serving Kardamumini. See, so she had to actually give up all the six enemies to serve Kardamumini. So in that kind of service, that kind of austerity actually brought the Lord as her son. So it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that yajna dana tapakarma na tyajyam iti chapare. You know, yajna, the sacrifices, tapa, austerities, dhanam, charity, and karma, and the auspicious activities, penances, can never be given up. So we cannot say, I am an advanced devotee, so I don't need to do any service. You know, one may think, you know, I am very advanced, so now everyone has to serve me. It means I am not advanced. You understand? So Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, it is mentioned, one has to perform sacrifices all the time. The nature of sacrifice may differ, but one has to go through sacrifice all the time. However advanced we are. In fact, one sacrifice will become even more when a devotee becomes advanced. An example of Devahuti, example of Devaki, Vasudev, etc. We can see there we did so much of austerities in serving the Lord. So we cannot give up, and we cannot give up charity. One has to, even loving exchanges. One cannot think, you know, I'm an advanced devotee, so I won't do any loving exchanges. The loving exchanges means charity. Loving exchanges means charity. We give things and accept things in charity. So, you know, I have seen even, you know, many advanced devotees, gurus, how they exchange, you know, they give gifts. Because I was serving my spiritual master, and he gave me one time a hoodie or a t-shirt or something, and he gave me, you go to such and such Maharaj, go to his house where he's staying and give this to him. So I understood, okay, this is loving exchanges. They are exchanging things. So there is loving relationship, there is giving in charity, even in all positions. So this is very important. So something we cannot really neglect, or we cannot think we are above that. So this comes to the point that to attain success in Krishna consciousness, or to begin Krishna consciousness, one has to perform austerities. Right? One has to perform austerities. Otherwise, there is no question of success in Krishna consciousness. Now, if you see the materialists, you see outside world, you can see so many successful people. There you can see billionaires, you can see millionaires, you can see very, you know, poor people who are very famous. They are very successful in their material life. We may see their glories. They have this, they have that, they have the other thing. Okay, all fine. But if you really try to see how much austerities they had to go through to come to that position, then we understand it was not just free of cost. They had to pay the price. So even in material life, to be successful, one has to pay the price. Then how about Krishna consciousness? Can we expect anything for free? Not really. One has to pay the price. One has to go through the austerities in Krishna consciousness. Not outside of Krishna consciousness. Within Krishna consciousness. Then only one can come to be one can be successful in Krishna consciousness. That's where we can see, if we are doing some service, we need to develop our skills in those services. Say suppose we are entrusted with some services and we want to do some services, we have to put effort to sharpen our skills, because we have to use those skills in Krishna service. And if we don't put effort in that service, if we don't train ourselves, then you know, how can we serve the Lord properly? Because if you see, Devaki and Nanda, they had gone through lifetimes of service. Now to see the Supreme Lord face to face in the form of Krishna. And that too, we can see that immediately after that, the Lord left. Maybe after a decade, they again got the vision of the Supreme Lord. You know, see such a long separation again. So they had to really perform their service for many lifetimes to come to the platform where they could serve the Lord face to see the Lord face to face and serve the Lord face to face. So if we need some skills, we need to develop those skills. We need to train ourselves in different services so that we can do it properly. It's not going to happen automatically. Rather, we need really some effort to put in. If you see Srila Prabhupada's life, if you see his life from 1896 till 1965, that is from his birth till 1965, in Lilamrita, first volume, what is the title of the volume? A Lifetime in Preparation. See that, a lifetime in preparation. Srila Prabhupada did such a wonderful feat in serving Krishna, such a wonderful, amazing activity, but there was a preparation for a lifetime, you know. 1896 till 1965, a lifetime of preparation. If you see his understanding of Shastra, we can see, of course we can see he's a pure devotee, he knows everything. But Srila Prabhupada had studied all the scriptures. He had studied Bhagavad Gita, he had studied Bhagavatam, along with different commentaries of acharyas, of previous acharyas. Prabhupada has assimilated everything. Prabhupada had studied Srila Rupa Goswami's works like Upadeshamrita. He had studied Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada had assimilated all this work. Prabhupada had studied Sandarbhas. He had studied all the works and he had assimilated everything. Then when he writes his purport, all this knowledge along with his realization is coming out. So if you see the purports to Bhagavad Gita, if you read purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, it has everything. It has all the commentaries of acharyas. It has Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it has Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has Sandarbhas. All this knowledge is presented with realization in the way we can apply in our daily life. In that way Srila Prabhupada has presented. So it is not something which is something which happened just like that. It's a lifetime of preparation. In fact, I remember a statement of His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Gaur Govinda Maharaj says, some people say two things and it gives me a lot of pain. So it's very important. One is that Prabhupada hasn't given everything. He has given only ABCs, only the basics. So this is Maharaj says, some people do say. And second, they leave ISKCON saying that not everything is given in ISKCON. So Prabhupada says, Gaur Govinda Maharaj says, this gives me the most pain. If you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Prabhupada has given everything. It's not just ABC. We are not even at ABC. That is one thing. But Prabhupada has given everything, actually speaking. The most advanced platform of devotional service is described in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam in Nectar of Devotion. You can just read that. Everything is there. Only problem is we cannot see because we are not qualified. When we become qualified, then we see advanced devotional service in the same pages of Srimad Bhagavatam in Nectar Devotion. So, second, ISKCON doesn't have everything. So, we had to go some other society. No, everything is there in Srila Prabhupada's movement. So, Prabhupada said, never leave ISKCON. That is one instruction, never leave ISKCON. There's no need to leave ISKCON. Because everything is there to perfect the life. Not for anything else. For perfecting your life, it is there. If the objective is something else, okay, maybe something else, some other organization may be better. So this is very important. Prabhupada has given everything and it is based on a lifetime in preparation. Prabhupada, not only Shastra, cooking. If you see cooking, Prabhupada taught cooking. Prabhupada was an expert cook. He was an expert musician. Right? It is said in Prabhupada's disciples was giving a lecture, and Prabhupada was so expert, he was very good in playing harmonium. He said when he was a young man, one of his friend's sister wanted to marry Srila Prabhupada because she got attracted to Prabhupada's skill of playing harmonium. So Prabhupada was an expert, and of course he didn't get married to her, but it's a lifetime, it's a change. Then Prabhupada was an author. Even before writing this Prabhupada's purport, he was an author. He was writing so many essays, he was writing so many articles. And to the degree that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told, whatever he publishes, whatever he writes, publish it. Whatever he writes, publish it. So this was the, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he saw, this man is hearing. That was the first qualification. Srila Prabhupada was hearing very carefully from his spiritual master. And since he was hearing, he became a great preacher. He was preaching and he was able to write. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted his publishers to publish whatever Srila Prabhupada writes, even when he was a grihastha. So this is the skills of Srila Prabhupada. And on top of that, he was a sadhaka who was absorbed in the holy name. Prabhupada's chanting was amazing. He was just absorbed. Even Prabhupada becoming a Prabhupada, that is, even before leaving India, I have heard this past time, where a pujari in Advaitacharya's house, one of the Panchatattva's house, I think it is Advaitacharya's house here, where he was recollecting about Srila Prabhupada. This old man used to come and he used to just sit and he used to close his eyes and he used to intensely chant. So he used to come frequently and he was chanting with such an intensity. So he was wondering, you know, who is this person? And he never spoke to anyone. He just used to go to Advaitacharya's birthplace. He used to just sit there. He used to just chant. And he used to leave. That's it. He never spoke to anyone. And later, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he became a great acharya. He had a lot of disciples. When he came back, then he recollected he's the same person. So this is the absorption. So even Srila Prabhupada was absorbed in sadhana, even though he is not just a sadhaka, but he is a siddha, but to demonstrate what is needed to attain siddhi, he demonstrated as a sadhaka. So this is Srila Prabhupada, he demonstrated everything. So it is the same principle is applicable for us if we want to preach. We need to have skills in preaching. We need to know first of all Srila Prabhupada's books, purports, and we need to learn how to present according to the audience. We cannot have, we may read everything, but the initial preaching activities would be we just repeat. Srila Prabhupada said, of course, repeat, but Prabhupada also said, repeat with realization, and the realization is speaking according to time, place, and circumstances. We can read this point in First Canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is realization. So, if we have to present something, we need to know the audience. We cannot just give the same example everywhere. Say, for example, we cannot repeat the Bhagavatam class to a new Western audience. No, it is assured, rest is assured that it's going to be a bit problematic, right? People will not get attracted. So we need to see who the audience is. Similarly, if we have what we are presenting to the Indian audience, we may not be able to give to the Western audience, the newcomers, because the conditionings are different. So for the Indian audience, you can speak a lot about demigod worship, but for a new Western audience, it doesn't make any sense, you know. Who is this, you know? You know, who is this Ganesh or Kali or, you know, it doesn't make any sense. One has to see the audience. Or the example, like, you know, Indian preaching, we give the example, we are in the material world, it's like a prison house, Tihar jail, you know, the example of Tihar jail. India is one of the most notorious jails, you know. So it actually clicks to the Indian audience probably, you know, sometimes can be a problem also, but at least a jail example. But if you port the same thing to a Western audience, will not get attracted. What? You know, so one has to be very careful what we are presenting. It means we have to develop skills in serving Krishna. So we may not have gone through lifetimes, at least some few years at least we have to spend in developing our skills. So it is said, Srila Prabhupada said, that everyone should know something about everything. It's about services. Everyone should know something about everything and everything about something. So this is very important. It is applicable for all of us. We should know something about everything. So if any service, we may not be able to do something. So we don't need to be, you know, totally aloof from that. You know, we can do something. But for some services, at least one, one should know everything. In other words, we have to become experts in serving in some way or other the Supreme Lord. So it requires preparation. It requires time. It requires thoughts. Just doing like that will not work. One need to think what is lacking, what we need to improve. So we always need to be in this mood that, okay, there are certain services which I can do and I need to develop those skills. So I am ready to spend some time and energy in those services so that I can serve the Lord. So we can see Vasudeva, Devaki, these great devotees, they have actually perfected their life, means they have perfected their service into Krishna. So it's very important for our, you know, for our Krishna consciousness. For anything, if you are doing, performing puja, then it's a great opportunity because we are with the Lord. So we need to know how we are performing our puja. What is our consciousness? Especially in puja, two things are important. One is punctuality and cleanliness. And of course, the consciousness in which we are performing the puja. It's very important. So it's a great opportunity, especially if we are doing direct service to the Lord in the altar. We can fix our consciousness in the Lord. We can think about the glories of the Lord. We can think about the activities of the Lord. It's a great opportunity because we can directly, we are seeing the Lord and we are serving. So we can fix our mind in thinking about the Lord. It's a training for the mind. So it's not easy. Many times it is said, you know, if you are performing manasa puja, it is most difficult. Manasa puja means the mind has to be in control, you know. Mentally we are offering different items to the Lord. Say for example, if you are worshipping Saligram, we had to do the manasa puja, right? You know, 16 upacharas, 16 offerings to the Lord in the mind. So close the eyes and do that. Then we understand how difficult it is. No, we had to do that. So it is controlling the mind and making it conducive in serving the Lord. Because it is very important in our service. Engagement of mind is very important. That bhakti is called paribhavita bhakti. Paribhavita bhakti means complete bhakti. Complete bhakti means our action is in sync to the Supreme Lord. Same as our mind and words. Everything in sync. Everything is in line in Krishna consciousness. That is a complete bhakti, paribhavita bhakti. So if you want that, then we have to be very focused. And as we can see in this purport and this verse, that in devotion service, to attain anything, one needs sense control. It will not happen automatically. One has to control the senses. And which is difficult. It's not easy. And the trick of Maya is that the Maya throw in front of us big crisis. Say for example, if we feel like sometimes, you know, if you are with the devotees, we know, you know, we do correct devotees, that's a different story, but we know that if we speak something to some devotees, they will get agitated. Or if I speak this in this way, it's not going to be pleasant. But what happened? We are so accustomed, we cannot control. We just use the words anyway. So as if we feel that we are in an existential crisis. The Maya throws, you know, it's an existential crisis. If I don't speak this, then something wrong is going to happen. I cannot exist. My existence is challenged if I don't speak like this. So this is Maya's trick. So we don't control our tongue. We speak something and it creates unnecessary problems. So the pushing of the tongue is very strong, right? We know. Have you experienced? No, I really want to speak this, you know. I really feel like speaking like this. We know it's not really good, but I want to express myself. So this is how Maya tricks. So this is Maya throws this kind of trick, and we have to control our tongue. Similarly, the mind, you know, the unwanted thoughts may be lingering in our mind. Many times it happens, right? During the day, during the night, think, observe our own mind. We can see unwanted thoughts are lingering in our mind and we want to prolong that. We don't want to cut. Maybe after some more time. So this is the trick of the mind. And eating, Of course, you know, we all have problem in controlling the tongue in terms of eating, you know, yes. It's a common thing, you know. It's a binary thing. One is the tongue is telling yes, and the stomach is saying no. So the choice is between this yes and no. Whichever is stronger will win. So this is the sense control of the tongue, you know. Tongue will never say no. It'll always say yes, 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 unless it is very unpalatable. So this is, we have to control. Then the anger. How about the anger? Anger is very interesting. Sometimes we know that certain kind of thoughts, if I think in this direction, my mind will get agitated and I'll become angry. And when I become angry, more thoughts will come and I'll become more angry. Then it's like a vicious cycle running. But what happens is at no point we want to cut that. If we don't get into that thought, if the thoughts are coming, if we actually say, Hare Krishna, I don't want to get into it, either chant or engage in some service or engage the mind in something else, then we can actually save ourselves from an angry mood or further expressing our anger to others. We can save ourselves. But what happens? If we cannot control at that point, then we get into the cycle. So this is, again, the Maya is throwing that, an existential crisis, you know. If I don't do that, if I control my mind, something is wrong is going to happen. No one has actually died because of controlling the mind. But that is what Maya actually tells us. You are not going to exist because you are going to control the mind. So this is the Maya's tricks. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, a person who is advanced, who is a Sthitadhir Muni, an advanced devotee, his qualification is that he can control his mind and he can control his desires for sense gratification. Sarvan kaman avasthitan, prajahiha, sarvan kaman avasthitan, right? He can control all the sense gratificatory desires. It is possible. That is the nature of a devotee. So as a devotee, as we are aspiring devotees, we need to see that, okay, how can we control that? So it is very important, otherwise it is very difficult to make progress. In fact, there is this verse from Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya is a great acharya in the Sri Sampradaya. He is the forerunner of Ramanujacharya. So he writes this verse, and it is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Sanatana Shiksha, in the conversation between Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. He says, Kamatinam katina kathita palita durnidesha. Kamatinam kathita. So many desires. I have satisfied so many desires which are uncountable, starting from lust. So many desires have come to my mind and I have satisfied all those desires again and again. Uncountable, right? Desires are uncountable. Kamatinam katina kathita palita durnidesha. And I followed all these desires as an obedient servant. So this material existence. Then tesham jata maina karuna natrapa nopashantihi. But even though I followed this master of this lusty desires so long and so many times, still they didn't show any compassion. Na karuna, they didn't show any compassion. The lusty desires are telling, or the material desires are telling, okay, you have served me so much, so I'll give you a break. One day, I will leave you without any material desires. No, it never happened like that. So, so that is mentioned. Tesham jata mai na karuna na trapa nopashantihi. And it was like a boss who is very, very strict and merciless boss. Whatever you do, there is no appreciation. So, okay, you served this much? Okay, serve more. Okay, served this much? Okay, more. So there is no appreciation, there is no gratitude. So the material desires and all these bad qualities are like that. So they are engaging ourselves in service. So, and Yamunacharya says, I served them without any shame. Even though I got beaten so many times, still no shame. So I served them again. So he says, Utsrujyetan adha yadupate tavakam labdabuthi. Now, I have decided one thing. By your mercy, I have got this transcendental intelligence, labdha buddhi. I have got this intelligence, this spiritual intelligence. By that, I am approaching you. Tvam ayata charanamam abhayam atma da niyanksho atma dasye. Now I am coming unto your shelter. So kindly, O my Lord, kindly engage me in your service. Because other than that, there is no way we can control our mind. It's not possible. So there are obstacles, and obstacles can be in the form of temptations. It's very dangerous. For to control the mind and the senses, obstacles are one thing. Second is temptations. Temptations are dangerous. It is tempting. The desires are tempting. One time, Giriraj Maharaj, he was a brahmachari, and he was managing the Juhu temple. And, you know, the whole issue was going on. Yeah, the Mr. Nair and, you know, Srila Prabhupada acquiring the Juhu land. So that time, this person, he organized a prostitute to allure Giriraj Maharaj, then a brahmachari. Then Maharaj was sitting this prostitute also came and sat next to Maharaj. Then Maharaj started thinking, he shares his contemplation. He started thinking, and a beautiful prostitute, beautiful woman. And he's thinking, I'm going to lose my brahmacharya. I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to get attracted to this woman. And I'm going to fall away from Krishna consciousness. So his mind started thinking like that. You know, he was apparently getting affected by this association. Then suddenly one thought came to his mind. He started thinking, say, if I get succumbed to this allurement, what would Srila Prabhupada think? So Srila Prabhupada would be very much disappointed if I do this activity, if I go with this lady. Srila Prabhupada has invested so much of time and energy, and he loves me so much. So if I do this, he will be so much disappointed. So I don't want to do that. He just got out from the situation. Can you see? Because of his connection to Srila Prabhupada, he got saved from that allurement. So the same principle is applicable for us. We are actually in association with many devotees. We are in association with our spiritual masters, and also we are in association with the devotees whom we are taking guidance from, who have helped us for year after year, who are caring for us without any expectations, year after year. So if we are actually being allured by sinful desires, we have to at least think. These so many devotees, they have so much of expectations on us, and they have spent so much of time for us. And if I act against or act for this kind of sinful desire, what am I really doing? Am I doing any good for my relationship with the other devotees? So in this way, one can actually deviate one's mind. So one has to be, we are eternally grateful to all the devotees. Because without that, we cannot be in the association of the devotees. Without that, there is no question of progress in Krishna consciousness. It's not just the coming in touch with the devotees, but further progress is heavily dependent on the association. So we need to be grateful and thinking about the devotees. And devotees are, any devotees look down upon us? Generally, no. And if there are mistakes, they do correct. But otherwise, all devotees see others as devotees. Means they have good expectations. They have to make progress. Everyone sees us as, okay, we have to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So if we act upon, if we get succumbed to sinful desires, we are actually acting against the devotees also. We may not be able to see Krishna directly, but at least we can thank the devotees who helped us. Oh, in that way, at least we can see, okay, I need to deviate my mind from those desires to Krishna consciousness. In that way, at least we can stay in the path of Krishna consciousness. We can control our mind and senses. And through that, we can make progress. So that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha Manmana Mam Pashrita Bahavo Jnana Tapasa Puta Mad Bhava Magata. Vita Raga Bhaya Krodha, by giving up raga, attachment, fear, lustful desire, anger, manmana mam upashrita, by surrendering unto me and worshipping me, bahavo jnana tapasa, by austerity and knowledge, bahavo, so many people, they have attained me. Attained madbhavam means the Krishna consciousness. So many people have attained success in Krishna consciousness. So we are not minorities, but we are actually majority. In this material world, it may look like we are minorities, but actually we are not minority, we are majority. Because most of the people are devotees. Only a fraction in this material creation are non-devotees. So there is certainly hope in controlling the mind and senses in association with the devotees. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or any comments. Okay, we don't have any questions. Okay. Yeah, Mother, do you have a question or a comment?
What about anger in Krishna service?
Oh, okay. That is a good point. Anger can be used in Krishna service, but one has to be careful. That's why in many places it is mentioned we have to give up anger. We have the example of Arjun. He used anger in Krishna service. When he was fighting, he was not very peaceful. He was angry because he was killing. There is no peaceful killing. While killing the enemies, he was angry. Also, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Hanuman. He was quite angry when he was fighting for Lord Ramachandra. So yes, anger has its purpose. Srila Prabhupada used anger in correcting devotees because that was his service. But at the same time, he never carried away by anger. This is the problem we may have. If you think I am an angry person, so I have to use anger in Krishna service and I will start chastising everyone, then we will be in trouble. So there is this pastime of Srila Prabhupada wherein Prabhupada was so angry. He was correcting one disciple and Prabhupada just turned and he was just heavily chastised, and then from that moment he was just walking out and one devotee was coming with a flower for Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada so gracefully accepted as if nothing else has happened. He was in a completely peaceful situation. He just gracefully accepted that flower. Can you see? So he used anger in Krishna service, but at the same time he was not covered by anger. Generally what happens? We start chastising, we will be already covered by anger. Then we chastise someone, which may be with good intention, but since we are not in control, then anger controls us. Then we cannot get rid of that anger. Have you seen that? So one has to be, anger can be used in Krishna service, but one has to be careful. Yeah.
In saying that you have to use anger in the progression of this one, I mean that seeing the authorities and gurus and using anger less and less in fear of offending.
It has to be used, but correctly.
Yeah.
It's an important point that there has to be an impression created in the heart when we are correcting, so that, especially if it's a grave mistake or, you know, so that they don't repeat the mistake. So it is, it's important for authorities to use anger in the right way. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Madhuri. Thank you. That's a very nice point. That anger, Madhuri was mentioning, that one can chastise or use anger in Krishna service in a private way, so that the devotee get corrected, but at the same time doesn't just feel bad in front of other devotees. So that's a very, very good point. And also Bhakti Mataji's point was that, for those who are listening from the radio, that the senior devotees and gurus tend to use anger less and less as they are progressing in devotional service, as the ages are passing, because of worried about not offending devotees. But at the same time, the correction has to be done in a proper way, so that actually the devotees get corrected and they don't come with the same mistake again. So that balance has to be there. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Madhuri.
Coming with regards to that, like, that yeah. Buddha taking care for Krishna devotees, the name of the Maharaj. So, is that the Buddha is called taking care for Krishna's devotees? I don't know.
Yeah,
but no, he was saying that that because his previous position, he feel like he has to hammer on people quite a lot. But then he said when he became like a representative for the taking care of the devotees, he said he will only use just the hammer just to put a nail on the wall. So just kind of like the attitude that we should try to be developing, like it's pretty easy, especially when we are kind of put in certain positions, like as trying to be leaders, the lines are pretty fine sometimes, how to approach and how to try to help rather than that be quite heavy on people. So it was a good example. Now he was saying, after being a very senior devotee, that he was also facing those situations before, and he said that I will only use the hammer just to put a nail on the wall, but not to just go and smash people.
Yeah. Thank you. So the point is the same, that as one is matured in devotional service, then just like the hammer is only used to, you know, put the nail onto the wall, in the same way the anger can be used for the right purpose, with the right force, sensitively. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Grantha Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.